Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
I'm the comic guy.
Greg!
Greg!
This
it's like
is
Norm
a...
from Cheers.
You want a beer, Greg?
Everybody knows my name.
Yeah. Well, this is a special edition of the DK brought to you exclusively by GameStop, power to the players. Yes. Yeah, they've given us a $25.
Leave me alone. Talking with your fancy talk.
They gave us.
Yeah, they ain't going to be giving us anything after this.
They give us a $25.
They gave us.
Shut up. They have provided a $25 gift card that we will be giving away at the end of the podcast if you can make it that long.
Thank you, GameStop.
Yeah, thank you, GameStop. Yeah. We put a special contest up on our page, our Facebook page specifically, as well as our website, geekcavepodcast.com.
And the winner is?
We will pick that at the end of the show.
Okay.
Okay.
I was going to start a drum roll. I'm glad you said
it. Yeah, you'd be doing that.
Because I was just going to keep going.
Well, you don't have anything, so you're going to do that for a half hour.
I'm here for the snark.
He's here for the snark. Yeah.
I hope we can provide.
All right. So here's some of the highlights that we picked out from E3, and then we'll each kind of give you our little contribution.
Nintendo used puppets. I'm done.
They did. They used Muppets. Literally, figuratively, not figuratively, literally Muppets.
Yeah.
And figuratively, they used Muppets.
Yeah. Nothing else need to be talked about.
Star Fox Zero, Final Fantasy VII getting an HD remake, hitting the PS4 first.
Sometime, some year, we don't know which year.
It'll be like the new version of The Last Guardian. Xbox One getting backwards compatibility, kind of. Oh, The Last Guardian is also coming out. Fallout 4, it's real and it's most likely spectacular.
Yay!
Rare Replay, you can get 30 games for $30, including Banjo-Kazooie and Battletoads, because, of course, you need to break that brand new controller.
Really, when you get down to that, people are going to purchase that whole set for one game.
Just for Battletoads.
For like one or two games. That's going to be it. It's like,
really?
Well,
Between Banjo-Kazooie and Battletoads, you pick Battletoads?
Think about it. I'm not saying I'm going to buy it. And I'm not saying I would pick Battletoads. But Battletoads has reached meme status. People have been calling GameStop for years asking if they have Battletoads. So now GameStop actually has buttons they gave to their associates that say, ask me about Battletoads.
So, really?
Yes.
I want one of those, just on principle.
Freaking Shenmue 3 is a thing. Assassin's Creed finally joining the 21st century. Not in the game, but like the developers. Sony scooping Call of Duty Early Access DLC away from Microsoft. And let's see, Horizon Zero Dawn, Record, and that's really about it, because Nintendo teased a Metroid game, and then it turned out to not have anything to do with Metroid whatsoever. So, Nintendo's E3 presser started off great, and then just kind of went downhill from there. Although Yoshi's Woolly World looks fantastic.
And the Paper Mario crossover game for the DS.
Crossover with Mario and Luigi. So those are your E3 highlights, gentlemen. What do you think stood out the most?
The
Muppets, I told you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If I could drop my mic, I would.
Well, wait a minute. You're really excited about Transformers Devastation, though. That was also released at E3.
That's true. I'm sorry. I'm a huge Muppets fan, so whenever I see them, I kind of get, you know, misty-eyed and, you know,
I will admit,
remembrance of my childhood.
I will admit, when the pressers started, when Nintendo's pressers started, and it's freaking...
The Rainbow Connect.
It's freaking puppets of Reggie Fils-Aimé doing upside-down push-ups saying, my puppet body is ready.
See? Exactly.
Satoru Iwata holding bananas. Just because, why not? And Shigeru Miyamoto slowly turning...
And for scale.
Yeah, and for scale, yeah. And Shigeru Miyamoto slowly turning into Star Fox.
Yeah, and then they had a Star Fox Muppet.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, Star Fox Zero looks maybe good. I'm not really sold on the control scheme.
Oh, they were talking about a game? I was just, you know, ooh, puppets.
Yeah. Now, the control scheme is you have to aim the gamepad where you want to shoot.
Live with it.
You fly, with the joysticks, but you have to, like, literally aim using the gamepad. You have to move it around.
So it's a game designed for my mother.
The kind of person who would play the original Nintendo and hop whenever Mario had to hop.
Hey,
yeah.
I did.
Lean left.
We
and
all
right.
did that, though, especially in those really tough parts.
I know we did. Yeah. So it's meant for, like, 5-year-old Darren, Chad, and Justin.
Someday you need to watch me play Super Meat Boy. It's hilarious and
Super
awful.
Meat Boy. Yeah.
splat.
Yeah.
Splat.
Yeah. Okay, well, we know what Justin's highlight was. Chad.
The first moment of the whole... Now, I watched the Xbox, the Microsoft press release, and then I watched the Sony one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the Sony one that I actually was my first kind of wow moment when they scaled back on No Man's Sky.
Oh,
they're like, okay, so here's where we are.
Yeah.
And we're going to pan out and we're going to show you just a little bit of where we can go.
Yeah.
And it just kept going and going and going.
And that is the strength of something that's a procedurally generated game, is that you can literally make a ridiculously endless world.
It reminds me, there's a guy who's trying to find the end of Minecraft.
Yeah.
Because eventually you reach a point where the hardware cannot make more.
Right.
And so I kind of want to know how big is that before the PS4's hardware says, and we're pooped.
And we're done.
Or the PC's hardware.
Or the PC's hardware, yes, because it's going.
Yeah.
And as long as, I mean, since PCs are just infinitely upgradable.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's impressive.
Who knows?
Oh. right, it's like there's games coming that I really want to play.
Mm-hmm.
There's games that I'm currently playing that are taking a lot of time.
But then there's No Man's Sky.
And then there's No Man's Sky. It's like, this will take forever.
I'm doing this for the rest of my life. All right, so No Man's Sky.
Any give me updates on the kids? Let me know when they hit college. I'll be there.
and really, that was just the first time that I stopped and was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's bloody amazing.
Well, I had a couple of wow moments. My favorite moment was somehow Square kept Final Fantasy VII HD Remake a secret for more than a year.
Yeah.
And when they unveiled it at E3, I mean... Every year we hear rumors like, this is it. This is going to be the year. This is it. They're doing it. They're doing it. And they never do. And then last year they trolled everybody with the whole, here it comes for the PS4. It's
the
re-release
demo
of the PS1 version. Yeah.
Which was hysterical.
That was pretty funny.
It really was.
It was hysterical for someone like me who has no intention of playing it. And has no... I never did play it.
Yeah. Oh, you missed out on some great comedic moments.
So...
Yeah. Which I hope they keep, because it's a remake, not a remaster.
Hey, Darren, just think of the hot tub scene in HD.
The hot tub scene in HD. I'm thinking of, like, the time that Cloud has to dress like a woman in order to infiltrate a gentleman's club.
Yep, that's what I mean, that part of it. We have to get the wig.
So, you know, it...
Sounds like my typical Thursday.
I doubt that they'll keep it, but that was, for me, the big one. Although a couple others, I mean, the Xbox One backwards compatibility, that's huge. It gives them, like, an infinite... Not infinite, about 6,000 titles.
I have a prepared statement about that.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. And also, Sony stooping away early access DLC for Call of Duty.
That, to me, is the bigger deal.
From Microsoft. Because, you know, for years, even back to the 360, when you wanted to play Call of Duty, you got it on a Microsoft platform, so you could immediately have the DLC and stay up to date. And Microsoft lost that. They lost it to Sony. That is... I don't think we quite fathom how big of a deal that really is, because of just how much money is involved there and how this might effectively cause an exodus from one platform to the other. You know, so that is a big deal. Anyway, Chad, you had a prepared statement.
Yes, my spouse had some thoughts regarding backwards compatibility.
TGC Liz.
And rather than join us to record, she...
Because she can't be bothered.
Well, she is taking care of the child.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I will not try to mimic her voice.
Thank you.
You want to be excited by Xbox One's backwards compatibility? Fine. Go ahead. In all honesty, I'll probably use it myself at some point, but I find the announcement at this stage more aggravating than exciting. First off, the fact that this is coming so late means that many gamers probably have already sold off their 360 and games to get the new system. Let's face it, if you're trading in your 360, why keep the games when Microsoft said they would not support backwards compatibility?
Good point.
And hadn't even mentioned it since inception. Or gamers sold the 360 and games because it was just gathering dust because they actually did find something to play on the Xbox One. So now we are faced with rebuying all these games or buying them digitally, which, by the way, fills us a lot of space on the hard drive.
Definitely so.
Right.
Second, supporting backwards compatibility now is like Microsoft saying, quote, "Yeah, we know you all love the 360 experience and we were unable to deliver that on the Xbox One, so here's that backlog for you." End quote.
Yeah.
It's a nice gesture, I guess, but the most exciting thing out of Microsoft's E3 press conference should not have been, "Hey, now we can replay old games." It should have been, "Hey, look at all this awesome stuff coming out soon." And yes, I stress, soon. Microsoft should be giving me a reason to turn on the Xbox One to play a real great game, not to download the latest update. Looking backwards was really not the right move to show yourself as the system for the future. Third, the fact that this is being done with only a software update suggests to me that the Xbox One was always able to do this despite the, quote, "we weren't even sure this was possible" BS being
spewed. That's what I was going to say. That's total bull. That is the software, not a hardware limitation. That's awful.
If modders can turn the original Xbox into a Nintendo and Atari emulator or make the Kinect something cool, then don't tell me Microsoft couldn't make a system as strong as the Xbox One play games one generation back that uses the exact same kind of discs. This goes for you too, Sony. I mean, please. Nintendo was able to make the DS play Game Boy games, and the card readers were completely different for those systems, and it is a little handheld. So what it boils down to is that Microsoft and Sony did not want disc-based backwards compatibility for whatever reason, and so they did not program for it.
It's now, money's the reason.
Yeah. Now they are suffering from a drought of AAA titles and need to find a solution fast. Indie games are doing a great job of keeping the system alive, but eventually we, quote, "entitled gamers," end quote, want the experience we were promised when we bought the system. Backwards compatibility is a Band-Aid. It makes us feel good for a while, but when we rip it off, if Microsoft hasn't fixed the problem, we are left with a festering wound called, quote, "why did I buy this thing?" End quote.
Wow.
Nice.
Give it up for Liz. She pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
I feel bad now for being excited about backwards compatibility, actually. A little bit.
I'm going to go put myself in the corner and stay there until
I just don't even know what to. I'm still going to buy some 360 games. I didn't own a 360 for like the last 6 years of its life. So, you know, there are a few exclusives I missed out on. So I'm going to make myself available of that. But fair points.
Well, yeah. And I think where this will be, honestly, at its best, is people who bought digitally on the 360.
They can just transfer it over.
Those games are now available on the Xbox One.
Yeah, and since it's tied to your account, you can just re-download them.
Right. That is really where the backwards compatibility, I think, is at its strongest. It's like you buy a game, you can't trade it in.
Yeah.
You can't sell it. It's just, it's money that you're basically saying, "hey, look, a toilet, let's flush."
2 years ago, Sony had a massive burn on Microsoft with the, "here's the process on, you know, loaning your games to friends."
Right.
Here you go.
Thanks.
Yeah. So this year it was Microsoft's turn with, you know, PlayStation Now is nice, but we're not going to force you to pay to play games you already own.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sick burn. I sent Sony some aloe. So, you know.
The other half of that probably is we are having to pay to play the games again, though, because like Liz said, who kept them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not very many people.
So really, all they've done is given you an excuse to sell your 360.
Yeah, but you can keep the games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly don't have any 360 games lying around.
You. Well, it helps that you never bought one in the first place.
Nor do I.
Yeah, but see, now I would have to repurchase them.
No, it's not repurchase if you never had them in the first place.
You don't know that.
That's true.
isn't the definition of re?
Yeah.
You know, it isn't again?
No, he doesn't actually know 100% that I never had
Then
them.
How come we record?
Yeah. Have we already corded?
I corded my computer.
I don't know. I cord on my guitar. Is that the same thing?
No, it's spelled differently. I think we're getting...
R-E-C-O-R-D.
So Horizon Zero Dawn, that looks like a fun title.
Hey, Darren, can I get my E3 rant, please?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you have a rant? Oh.
I do have a rant. So
I'm excited.
Rant away, my friend.
Yeah.
So PC games, that's a thing, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. My perspective is a little different. I don't have an Xbox One. I don't have a PS4. They're shiny, and there are games I'm looking forward to eventually. But right now, I'm mostly a Nintendo gamer and a Nintendo and PC gamer. You know, I've got Wii U. I've got my 3DS, which I love a lot.
We're very sorry.
But honestly, before even going to the whole PC side, my biggest problem with E3 is that it's shiny, it's flashy, it's also far, far, far off. With the exception of something like Fallout 4, most of these games will not be out before next year's E3, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my issue. Like, give me something to look forward to exciting for this year. Like, yeah, let me go pre-order that because I will be able to play it in a few months with what I have right now. But not just tech demos, you know, I'm just kind of burnt out on that, you know? Give me something, you know, what is the game going to play like? Because obviously, we all know that a pre-rendered CGI cutscene is not the same thing as actual gameplay. I'm looking at you every Final Fantasy ever.
the demo they gave like this year for Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
To me, it should have been this was the first time that we saw this.
Yeah.
Rather than last year seeing something. If it's not going to come out before next E3, we shouldn't be seeing it.
That's kind of my opinion too. And
that's kind of Nintendo's philosophy for a lot of their stuff.
So, and Alex, the other thing is, like, Fallout 4 is going to be great. I wish it was more different, you know, but I'm a huge Fallout fan. I've been playing it since the first game came out on PC 10, 15 years ago now. But other than that, I mean, the other couple games I was looking forward to, you know, the 3DS stuff, the Mario, was it Paper Mario crossover? What was
Paper
that?
Paper Mario crossing over with Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Then you got Fire Emblem Fire Emblem Fates now in the U.S.
Yeah.
And the Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei crossover, which looks crazy.
Yeah. You can find the trailer for that at dtpodcast.com, and I'm not sure. I've watched the trailer a few times. I'm still not 100% certain what I saw, but it looks fun.
Yeah, me either, but I love both those franchises very dearly. But, like I said, you know, I'm a PC gamer. Obviously, you know, in the midst of all this, the Steam sale is going on, so I'm dropping stuff on indie games. And I haven't bought a game that cost me more than $6, you know.
No, Steam sale is dangerous for your wallet.
Right, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, my focus really, as a PC gamer, is not AAA titles. It's the $20 ones that I can, you know, spend a weekend having a blast with and then move on to something, you know, kind of newer, fresher. I mean, not saying that all indie games are, you know, brand new and all that, but, you know, they're fun. And, like, you know, I was playing Shank 2 this morning, which is unadulterated, pure violence. Pick it up for $3.
Well, its name is Shank. So
exactly, it's fun. I mean, you know, and I don't know. Going on, I enjoy the AAA stuff. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, like I said, Fallout, Mass Effect, Andromeda, and all that. But I get more bang for my buck. I find more fun, which is kind of what I look for out of the smaller stuff. And I just kind of feel like some of the big publishers have lost. They're trying to be movies when they lost focus on the fun. You know, so that's kind of my. Don't worry, I enjoy E3. I love seeing what's coming out, but it's like it's way out there. I can't really get excited about it yet.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, basically, Sony and Microsoft is look. My penis is bigger. No, mine is bigger. And Nintendo's over here. I have hats.
No, Valve has hats.
Well, I mean, you know, Mario hats. There you go. We got puppets. We got puppets. And we got foxes and Yoshi's made of yarn and come play.
And they're on our penises.
We made yarn penises.
Little Big Planet.
What do you think Toad really is?
I think Toad is what I smoked last night.
Yeah. So, oh.
There's a connotation between Toad and getting bigger and, yeah.
Oh.
So, that's my, like, don't worry, I enjoy it, but it's one of those, I don't get excited about everyone because, you know, it's far off and it's not my particular Nintendo stuff, which was really, I was disappointed. I wanted Nintendo to kick the ball out of the park because
they needed to. They needed to this year. I mean, the Wii U is, let's face it.
I love it, but it's not doing well.
Yeah, they didn't announce hardly anything for Wii U for 2016. I mean, they even had to do a couple of, you know, press meetings after their Direct just to confirm, yes, Zelda is still coming to the Wii U.
Right.
Because everyone's like, hey, you announced a new system, and we remember what happened with Twilight Princess.
Right. Does anyone remember the last E3, the Zelda? You know, that was cool. Yeah. Where's that?
It wasn't ready.
Where is that?
It wasn't ready. They showed it in a moment of desperation. And as a result, they had nothing to show this year. I mean, Yoshi's Woolly World looks fun, and, you know, Star Fox, I'm just going to have to play it first, because it just looks weird, but I don't know. But, you know, overall, it was a pretty strong E3 for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, not so much. If you're a Kinect, it wasn't good for you either. You know, but if you're a Kinect and you're managing to listen to the podcast, hey. She's dead, Jim. So, I guess final thoughts. Now, we did mention Record and Horizon Zero Dawn. Those are two really fantastic looking games.
Yes. And the number of female protagonists that were featured this year...
Mm-hmm.
I think higher than we've ever seen
this
before.
This was the year of the woman.
And what I'm enjoying seeing is that they're not stereotypes.
They're not scantily clad.
It's not Dead or Alive.
It's not DOA,
right.
Yeah.
But we've got Lara Croft, who is...
I can't wait to play that.
I am half convinced that she is going to outsell Nathan Drake this year.
I think she will.
I think so too.
Well, next year,
when Uncharted 4 comes out, and when they're both, yeah, you know, because I think she'll outsell Nathan Drake as far as Xbox One versus PS4.
Okay.
And that's just because I loved the first, you know, the Tomb Raider reboot. I loved that game. It was fantastic.
I went out of my way to buy it after I had borrowed it from Darren.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons I got an Xbox One is because they have, you know, 6 months of whatever or exclusivity. That was enough for me. I'm like, all right, fine. That's it. Xbox gets my money. Tomb Raider, give it to me. So that's going to be one of those games this holiday season where I probably take a few days off of work. I call in sick or something. Like, look, I can't. I got this some kind of crap I found in a tomb or something. I got to take care of this. You know?
I woke up this morning sounding like an old Jewish woman who's been smoking all of her life. I can't radio.
Why don't you call me ever?
Call your mother for once in a while, you schmuck.
I call her names all the time.
That's true, you do.
I do.
So that being said.
Yeah. And Fallout 4 looks great.
It really does.
Fallout 4 looks like an upgraded Fallout 3.
Hey, the dog's not going to die this time.
Yeah,
I had a hard time killing the dogs ever.
Really?
Fallout 2, it was harder to keep him alive.
Fallout 3, he died on like the first quest I took him with, so I parked him out in front of the vault and said, you're not going anywhere. You stay right here. You wait for me.
Hmm.
So
that's why in New Vegas they gave you a perk called Puppies, where if you died, you can get a new one.
I didn't know about that, yeah.
Yes, Puppies.
I didn't play New Vegas.
I've tried three times.
I started playing New Vegas at a buddy of mine's house, and it froze up on me. I said, huh. It's a lot like the Arkham Origins. You freeze up in the opening cinematic. I don't want to play you.
You didn't miss much with Arkham Origins.
Fair.
Yeah.
So, final thoughts? Do we have final thoughts? Do we need final thoughts?
Is
there any particular low points?
If I'm having a final thought, that means I'm not going to be on the next podcast. I'd like to have concluding thoughts for this discussion,
yes.
But not final thoughts.
Final
has had such a finality to it.
I think all...
Final thought? Shit.
final thought. What is that?
Final thought. I bet I could make that.
I bet I could make it, yeah.
Final
Push
thought.
Of the day.
Did I
What's
clear my browser
thought?
History?
No, that's last words. Delete my...
No, my last words were... Final thought. Did I delete my browser history? Final words. Shit.
All right, well, concluding thoughts. I think we can all agree that Nintendo's E3 was a big disappointment.
Muppets.
Yes.
Muppets were good.
But the actual game showing was lacking, apart from Fire Emblem.
I mean, they deny it, but I think they're prepping for the next console, and they really just don't want to admit that they're preparing for the next console.
Well, who does? You're still pumping money. Although I did learn an interesting bit of trivia that Nintendo has apparently banked so much of their money into savings that they could not sell anything for like 20 years.
Yeah, they'd be okay.
And still be okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, the Wii was a cash cow.
The Wii and the DS, both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now the 3DS and the 3DS XL.
And the new 3DS.
I would love for Nintendo to come out at the next E3 next year and all their hyping are playing cards, going back to their original roots. No games, no consoles. We got cards.
Or,
flip.
Shigeru Miyamoto comes out dressed as a giant playing card.
Yeah.
You know?
Riding a bicycle with the cards in the spokes.
Yes.
Or just all of the all of their old games are now in card form.
Yes.
Replay The Legend of Zelda as it was originally meant in 1874.
Nintendo announces a partnership, Cards Against the Mushroom Kingdom.
I would play the hell out of that.
I would probably play that, yeah.
All right.
So, overall, I think what we had was an average E3.
Yeah, Nintendo dragged it down.
Well, it had some good stuff.
Yeah.
And it had some disappointing stuff, but there's not really anything that kicked it up to like, wow, oh, I can't believe it.
I don't know. I would argue the Final Fantasy VII announcement alone was pretty high up there for a lot of people. And not for you, because you've never played it, but for a lot of people.
And the Star Wars was a hype for some other people.
Battlefield, yeah.
Shenmue 3 for others.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's more things that people are excited for.
I guess that kind of shows where I am is I'm excited that the Rare replay has Solar Jetman Search for the Golden Warship, which I played on the original Nintendo and I loved it. And
so what you're saying is this year's E3, instead of being E, is eh.
Yeah, kind of a soft E.
Yeah, lowercase, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, lowercase with an umlaut.
With an umlaut, nice. Yes.
Yes, Chad, pronounce that.
E with an... Nobody puts an umlaut over an E.
Umlauts, that's how unique it was.
Umlauts go over A's and O's and U's because the umlaut lends the E sound to the other vowels. So an umlaut over an O is like trying to say the sound O when your mouth is shaped like E.
Like the Fonz, then.
Like the Fonz.
Yeah.
Like the Fonz. And so really, if it's
really more like schwa's.
We're in the weeds. Anyway, we appreciate GameStop for...
That's where I golf.
We appreciate GameStop for sponsoring
the bodies.
This edition of the podcast. If you want to pre-order something, I recommend you go through the link on our website, dtapodcast.com. We've got a nice little GameStop banner there. And if you do that, you won't be spending any extra money, but you will be helping us out. And, you know, we need food to live.
We like help.
But congratulations to Mike Pope. So one of the Popes apparently entered our contest.
It's the Pope.
Mike Pope, congratulations. He told us he was most hyped about Last Guardian returning from the grave because we thought that game was dead and gone.
Yeah.
And now it's back. He's getting a $25 GameStop gift card from us. Congratulations to Mike.
Yay.
And you have some of our scorn because we want the GameStop gift cards for ourselves. So,
okay. Congratulations,
I'll
Mike.
I'll buy you a $20 gift card. You buy Chad a $20 gift card. Chad buys me a $20 gift card.
I was going to buy it for Greg.
Yeah, someone's got to buy it for Greg. Greg has to buy yours.
Okay, Greg, yeah, you get mine.
That'll work.
But you have to go pick it up from him.
And by the way, if I can plug my, listen to the Geek Cave Comic Cast.
Oh, enough we got for today. Line.
That's enough time we have for today, ladies and gentlemen.
But it's for
join
the
us
same
on the next
site,
Geek
so
Cave Podcast,
justified.
geekcavepodcast.com.
Now, Geek Cave Comic Cast is available on Stitcher and iTunes and at geekcavepodcast.com. Just search for the podcast tag. You can find all of our podcasts.
My sarcastic ranting about Marvel and other things, Valid Image and maybe that guy DC. I don't know.
Maybe
about
that guy.
That guy.
DC stands for Distinguished Competition.
Yes. To find out if that's a lie or not, tune in next time.
Yeah. I'll talk about the mainstreams, and Greg will talk about all the indie comics you won't buy.
Ba-dum-bum.
I hate you all.
Greg, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
It was always a blast.
We appreciate it. And thanks again to GameStop for sponsoring this edition of The Geek Cave. Remember, everybody is a geek for something.
The Geek Cave Podcast, sponsored by GameStop. Check out the latest trade-in values at GameStop.com. GameStop, power to the players.